Hey everybody, it's good to see you all again. This segment is just to kind of let you guys know what is going on in this episode. So in this episode, there is a situation towards the end or anywhere in this episode, there is a blank. That means there's no sound coming in the episode, and you might think that is your fault. That is my fault. You can blame me, say it was my fault because that is editing problem, and that's because of recording and the recording platform that I use. If that happens to be in the episode, if that's in it, what you need to do is to just disregard it. Don't worry about it. Consider it like an ad break. Consider it like a break. Consider it like we're taking a 5 minute break. Consider it like that. So no freaking out. No need to worry. Make sure you guys enjoy the episode. Enjoy what's in it. And y'all have a good one and enjoy this one. Really enjoy it and have fun. And please disregard the blanks in there, consider them breaks. Hope you guys enjoy this episode and thank you guys for understanding and for your cooperation. Start. Hey everybody, I'm back on a new one. This is Rose Hillier. All the way in the UK, if you've been watching my show, you guys, I like the UK. In fact, UK is probably the second place I'm going to. Firstly, though, I want to visit Canada because I seem to like Canada all of a sudden. But anywho, he's from the UK and I'm so excited to meet you and thank you so much for taking your time out of your day to do this. Welcome.
Hey man, it's a pleasure to meet you too. So Canada's a bit closer to the UK. I think you're better off starting there from where you are anyway. What's the furthest you've ever had, like somebody on the pod?
The furthest I've ever had, the furthest from where I live, the furthest.
Yeah.
The furthest I've ever had, he was a rapper named Ice. He lives right here in Houston, so he lives here. And then the farthest person I've ever interviewed was people from the UK. No, the UK, Romania, India, has been the farthest that I've interviewed in Australia. Those are the
Oh
farthest.
wow. You've been all over the world. That's great.
Yeah, the only place I am done was China, Japan, Antarctica, Mexico. I haven't done those places. Hopefully, I will in the future. No, I
Yeah,
have
that'd be
done
sweet.
Mexico.
I
Never
wonder what
mind,
the
I
rap
have done.
scene's like in Antarctica.
Well, there's people that live there. I know a rapper that lives there.
No, do you? Fair.
They're gonna be rapping about igloos.
Yeah, I feel like all the bars are just gonna be, it's fucking cold.
It's really fucking cold. Yeah. Stuff like
It.
that. Yeah, word related to Eskimos. We did get eaten by polar bears on the daily.
Eskimo, you set yourself up for a tricky rhyme.
It's like a Emily Dickinson like weird ass like something J.K. Rowling would say if she tried to become part of the rap scene.
Love it,
Oh shit. I'd be crazy though if they actually wrote a song like that.
Guarantee they probably have. I mean, if they haven't, I'll gladly do it.
Oh, that's nice. That's cool.
So, tell us a little about yourself, Ross, or Russ.
Oh man, about me. I'm fucking old. I'm 34, which is
You don't sound it. You
ancient
sound like,
to be a rapper.
yeah, you
you don't
sound
sound that
you
old.
sound
You don't
like
sound old. You sound like more like 25 or 26. You don't even
that's
sound
good.
30.
I would have guessed younger than 20, personally.
Oh wow, blimey. Okay. Well, that's good. At least I can carry it in the voice, I guess. But
To
yeah,
get the youngsters.
yeah, I'm getting on a bit. I only really got into rapping in my 30s. I don't even know when I must have started. Like, just I don't know. It's weird. It's all a bit of a blur. I've been making music for so long. I don't know. Basically, since I was born, it feels like it's not been that long. I must have started like playing guitar when I was 10, 11, 12, around that sort of age. And that sort of just kickstarted everything. I've been in various bands over the years and stuff. Did a lot of touring and things when I was younger.
Ooh.
I said in that, I say that that makes it sound a lot grander than it was. I played a lot of shows, touring and stuff, not so much. I've never like left the UK for any gigs or anything like that.
Yeah.
But it's been good. It's always been like a massive part of my life. And basically like bands and stuff split up. I ended up having a daughter 8 years ago now, which is insane. But that kind of led to me going, okay, I can't really be going out doing all this stuff the same as I was before. And I need to find a way, you know, I couldn't just let music go. I needed an outlet of some sort.
Yeah.
I guess over the years, I just sort of started producing my own stuff. Probably started as like dance music, drum and bassy stuff more than anything. And then, I don't know, transcended into hip hop over the years. And I needed vocals over my beats. So I was like, I can't imagine what this is like with someone singing over it or rapping over it or whatever. So I just kind of started doing my own thing. And it was awful. But I got this bug. I really liked doing it. So I just kept doing it.
And I mean, honestly, it personally, I think music should be just something you're proud of and something that like is something that you enjoy doing.
Absolutely,
and I think that's awesome that you actually are able to do it as an actual hobby and don't see it as like a necessity or like an actual like something you need to do. Like you look forward to doing it. You enjoy doing it. That's kind of like what I'm getting to, but it's awesome that you actually have been able to do that. So what kind of like happened to make it sound, to make it to you to where you're like, all right, I want to get into hip hop. What kind of like happened in that place?
See, that's, I can't think of like a single instance where it happened. I mean, hip hop's always been in my life to some degree. And to be honest, for a long time, it was just very much background stuff. It was like things were going on, whatever. And you'd hear like the occasional artist, the occasional song or something that I'm like, yeah, I fucking dig that. But then never got into that whole thing. I guess my thing was I've always been more interested in making my own music than listening to everyone else's. which is totally changed. I can't think who the first artist that I must have started listening to would be. I mean, back in the day, like, you know, being a kid and stuff, it was like the Marshall Mathers LP was massive. Like, but then it culturally took over this whole country. Certainly, by an absolute storm. Like everyone was bumping that, and you couldn't not hear it, as it were. So it gave me this other like aspect on music. I mean, I was into like Blink-182 and stuff as a kid, and you know, fart humor and stuff. I'm all about that. I'm very easy to please and very immature. So, like, as soon as someone starts spitting hard bars at me, I'm like, holy shit, there's all these other levels I've, like, never considered so much. So I guess I just went down the rabbit hole at some point.
Awesome.
And it just got deeper and deeper. And, I mean, I'm still now, I'm finding out about artists that, you know, existed in, like, 2007 or something. And I've never heard this album. This guy's fucking dope. And, yeah, I'm then just, like, I'm totally backwards in what I listen to and stuff, and it's kind of all over the place. I'm not up and current in the slightest.
Yeah, bro, that's like awesome that you're able to actually like fully go from hearing the occasional rap song to now actually branching out and listening to more kind of music.
I've always listened to sort of a wide span of music. I don't know, I won't be put in a box, man. And that's one thing that I guess hip hop has always had, this sort of massive element to it, like it's more political leanings and stuff, how deep you can go, and the things that get righteous and stuff. Like I don't know if you guys know much like UK rap, but like Lowkey and Akala, Wretch 32, like those guys, they talk knowledge and depth, and I remember listening to them sort of for the first time. Again, I can't place when, but it must have been within the last 5 years or so, I guess. It's like, you know, I'd have picked them up on YouTube or something and then gone down the hole further from that. But yeah, so I don't know what I'm getting at about this. But yeah, like the whole activism side of things. I mean, it's kind of embarrassing to look back and go, you know, one of the reasons I kind of got into music like I did, I can kind of tie back to just being an arrogant little teenager and going, fuck you, mum, I can do this. Because my brother was always the musical one in the family. And, you know, I picked up the guitar one day and thought, I'm going to do this. I really enjoy it, whatever. And it was like, yeah, okay, that's fine. You do your thing, but no one cares. No one believes you'll ever keep this up or anything. So that was just a, you know, a rally call for me to go, all right, well, I'll prove you wrong. Watch this. Yeah. I'm going to start a band.
Oh, yeah.
So it's what I'm trying to get at, I suppose, is there's always been that little element of rebellion or fighting against the system and things like that that has just really appealed to me in so many ways. And yeah, yeah, it's an insane genre of music. There's so much depth and so many ways you can go off in it that I think I'll be finding new things forever, even that were released years ago, you know?
I can imagine that. You won't be stopping anytime soon.
No, I don't think so. I can see me doing this till I die, pretty much. Mm-hmm. I won't be able to keep rapping when I'm sounding like this. But like as for producing beats and stuff, like I say, it's, you know, when my daughter came along, my drummer at the time had moved over to Germany a few years after she was born. And that kind of split up the band that had been going for like a decade odd and whatever. And it was, we'd always done that as a hobby thing. It was very much background. And I have my regrets about that. I wish that when I was younger, I'd pushed us more and really gone to doing things. But we'd always been like, okay, this is a side thing. Like, we need to secure jobs and livelihoods and shit like that. And then that kind of, you know, it allows us to do things. You know, making money, working at the shop as a 20-year-old or whatever, that got me buying guitars and amps and things like that. So I was able to go and play shows and shit.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
So, yeah. I don't know where I was going with that, but...
No, but yeah, it was awesome hearing that, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And sorry for not addressing this earlier. As you guys know, this is my co-host. Sorry for not letting people know earlier. I apologize, Mono. I've been in hurt your feelings.
No, bro, it's fine.
You just dove straight in. It's been all good.
Yeah.
At least your mic seems to be working now.
It's because I'm on my phone instead of my laptop.
Oh, it sounds sweet. It's all right.
Yeah. But overall, like, who would you say is your biggest, like, influence in hip hop and otherwise?
That changes like quite rapidly, I guess. Like I say, because I'm constantly finding out about other artists and stuff, and because I'm so far behind the curve, they've generally got a whole bunch of albums out, so I can go, this is amazing. I just absolutely fill my boots on everything they've done in the past 10 years. Currently, it's got to be Jan Baxter. He's a UK artist who, his like wordplay lyrics, just, he's a very abstract visual lyricist. And man, it just hits so good. Like, and there's so much depth to it that it's the kind of thing that I can just spin again and again and again, always pick up on something new. I mean, you can say that for so many hip hop artists that picking just one is really difficult, but you know, if I'm just going, well, what am I listening to right now? A lot of it's Jan Baxter. So
that's awesome. I've never heard of Jan Baxter. You definitely have to like link me some of his like work or something if you want.
I can do that. That's fine. I'll spread that love. he's a fucking great artist, man. Some of the stuff that he's been doing recently as well. I think it's Some Guy on producing, it's spelled Sumgii. He's done some like incredible beats, and Ghost Town as well, like Jambax. I don't know if you've ever heard of Dabla. So there's probably going to be a disconnect because I listen to a lot of UK rap and it's it's not big, you know. It's I mean, these guys get thousands, hundreds of thousands of plays and stuff on like their bigger tracks and things. But you know, on the grand scheme, it is like UK hip hop, especially, is such like a small thing. I mean, for a long time now, it's been kind of overshadowed by grime, and like more recently UK. And that's not a bad thing. Like, those genres have their roots in hip hop, you know, and it blends over the trap stuff. There is some fucking fantastic artists out there on that wavelength, and
absolutely,
it's wonderful for me, like living over here. I don't know if that even matters so much anymore because everything's just online, and it's like, I guess one big thing is like, you know, these are guys that sound like me or whatever. So
yeah,
having listened to a lot of American hip hop back in the day, it's like once I started getting into UK stuff, it was just insane to hear what we could do with our accents and stuff. And yeah,
it is insane. I like the UK kind of mixes with the Americas. It's so interesting.
I mean, some of the UK flavors as well, like I mean, High Focus Records are a big one, Blah Records as well. They do loads of sort of gritty boom bap stuff that's just right up my alley, like, you know, the more older school sort of style of production, and that I'm big into jazzy loops and big drums.
Ooh, that's good that you told me. I know a couple producers with those. I know.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. Man, I'm always down to collab with people.
That's good.
Hey, man. Definitely gotta hit me up. I'm always down to collab on a track with someone. I'm a producer myself.
Sweet. Yeah.
So
yeah.
We definitely talk about making a track or something sometime. But yeah, definitely.
Sounds good, man. Yeah, totally down for that. I mean, yeah, I do most of the stuff I do is collab work these days. So I guess, I don't know, I might be branching off into another question or something here. But, you know, when I said earlier, you know, I wanted vocals over my tracks and stuff. So
yeah.
Knowing that I was absolute garbage, I was like, right, I need to own my skills somehow. Found the Reddit Making Hip Hop subreddit. They have a weekly cypher that they do. So I ended up just putting my tracks on there, and it was a massively steep learning curve, especially to start with. But like, I felt like, you know, just doing those weekly practices, getting something online mainly was a big one as well, because it just meant that I had to show people all of a sudden. I couldn't just keep having all of these tracks just building up on my hard drive going, yeah, I think this is okay, but I'm not ready to release it. So we'll just put it to one side and keep grafting behind the scenes, which wasn't a bad thing. I think that needs to be done as well. But yeah, sort of stepping it up that extra level, then started helping. But over the years of being part of that cypher thread, I've basically just done all sorts of collabs. People have just reached out to me that, a bit like you guys shouting out for the podcast, I'm like, I'm really surprised that you're fucking with me, this little dude over here, but I'm cool with it. I'll do whatever. it sounds a bit desperate when I say that. These are guys that I really fuck with and I really rate as artists and stuff. So to be able to sort of get into a fold and things like that with them has been amazing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely. And you don't have to feel like weird about it. I mean, I'm here to help like all artists. Trust me, when he found out that I was gonna like interview him, he was like that. He was like very surprised. He felt weird too.
All right.
100%. But yeah, I'm open to do anyone.
Oh yeah.
I'm open.
I see. Yeah, cool. Cool. That would be sweet if we can get some stuff going. Yeah.
Oh yeah, 100%. I wanted to kind of get more in with your music, because your music's dope, by the way. And people should know Just a little more about everything about it. So I wanted to ask, like, what is your process with the music? Like, how do you get the music going up ready for release?
Make it sound as good as I can. It's a really shit answer, but I mean, to get something ready for release, I'm terrible when it comes to marketing or anything like that. So, I mean, kind of a, like I've alluded to already, this has always kind of been a hobby thing for me. As much as I want to branch out and things like that, I guess for a long time I just haven't had enough faith in myself. It's nice to be getting to a phase where I do have a bit more confidence and all that. But yeah, so marketing wise, I'm terrible on that front, terrible on social media. Don't listen to any possible advice I might have there. But technically, like I like to think that, I can produce a track pretty damn well these days. In terms of what my process is like, it's really difficult to say because so many ideas can happen so many different ways. I might get excited by a sample or a little loop I hear or something, get an idea for a bass line or a drum loop over it, and then I'll just sit and start bashing things out. Sometimes I do kind of force it. I sit there, I just open my door and I go, what am I going to make? No idea. Let's just load up some synth sounds and start playing keys and see what happens. And sometimes magical accidents happen and it turns out really great. Sometimes it is just not up to par, so it goes, okay, that's fine. I've done some practice today, as I'll then see that session and move on. But yeah, so I don't really know what to say in terms of like mixing and mastering, unless you want to get sort of detailed in terms of plugins and things like that.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, you got the general parts down. I wanted though, how come you're not so confident in your music?
Just for a long time, I think it's just not been up to standard. Maybe it's because I'm my biggest critic. But if I show someone a track and they don't like fall over from how good it is, then I'm like, well, back to the drawing board then. And that's probably a really bad way of looking at things. But it also just keeps me going, okay, well, this one hasn't hit the mark. This one hasn't absolutely blown up. I mean, that's not really going to happen without marketing, but I'm also like a firm believer is if you've got a product that's that good, it is going to sell itself. So I guess until I'm at that stage, I probably won't rate myself that highly. And even when I'm at that stage, who knows? The brain's a tricky one. I'm an odd type of rapper that isn't super full of swagger and confidence. I can put it into the bars, but yeah, generally I just like to talk a bit more real, down to earth, or just be silly with stuff, I guess.
Gotcha. I understand. But yeah, you should open up a little more. You should definitely open up.
Thanks. Yeah, I should. And it's stuff that I think I am slowly getting better with and having that faith and confidence and whatever. And it's mainly for other people that that's happening, so like with the Cypher lot, oh man, it goes back away now a few months, but one of my beats got chosen for the Cypher on a particular week. So I said, okay, what I want to do for this, and it's something I've been thinking about for ages, but it was never one of my beats that came up in it. I said, okay, anyone that wants to be a part of like a massive long supercut. Because when you listen through on the voting thread, I'm like, some of these verses are so good, they should just go back to back, and I want to hear it as a full song. So I ended up going, okay, anyone that wants to do it, throw me your stems, and I'll mix down something. And that then basically started like an offshoot of the Cypher lot. So anyone that kind of contributed with that, I then said, okay, do you want to keep doing more stuff as a little collective? Started my own little subreddit, and then we've got the Splinter Faction now, which is basically like a 14 person strong hip hop collective. And we do loads of collab work with each other. There's loads of feedback going on and stuff, and it's amazing to have that little community going on there. And that's really sort of, yeah, like I say, helped really give me a kick up the arse and
that's awesome.
So yeah, big love to those guys. They're awesome.
That's really cool. And you should expand your you should really expand your collective. I would love to see more of you guys. I'd love to see social media. I even would love you guys to even set up Discord for all I know.
Yeah. It's all things that can happen. I'm pretty terrible with all the social media side of things, and no one's really sort of stepped up and said, you know what, I'll handle that or whatever. Maybe they're just a similar bunch of guys. It's, you know, that's not the exciting fun part of making music together. The fun part is spitting on a verse or whatever, seeing what your peers think of it and all that. Sitting there and trying to sell yourself and whatever, it takes a different mindset, you know.
So
we've really struggled there for sure, you know, trying to get anything like that going on, but we are coming out of that in a way. I've been talking to Bright of Bex and Bright. They've been an absolute hero through this whole thing. Like they've produced so many beats for us. They've been great. Like they've got a really good SoundCloud following, so anything that they've put through their own channels releasing, it's done really well song wise and stuff, play wise I mean. But otherwise, you know, we've got the Splinter Faction SoundCloud going. The tracks go up on Spotify and things a few weeks after they go onto there, because it just takes a bit longer through the distribution. But yeah, we are sort of, you know, we're getting around on every platform. We've got to pick things up in terms of getting noticed, really. But yeah, we got things cooking up, plans going on. So,
oh yay, I'm so excited.
Space, I guess, there.
Oh yay, I'm so excited. I'm so happy. And if you guys ever want like any help or advice, you know, I'm actually collaborating with the record label, so.
All right.
Like I'm actually like open to help anybody. So if you guys are ever looking for help or advice, you know, I'm here for you. If you need anything, you know, don't be like scared or weird to ask me.
Sweet. That'll be awesome. I mean, you know, like I've said so far, I guess it's like collaboration, having other people to, not in a nasty way or anything, but kind of like hold you accountable to things. Even you just being accountable to yourself, going, I'll get this done by a particular date. It's then, I don't know, I think it just really helps everything. So the more the merrier, you know, the more support we've got going on for the whole thing. And I can't thank you enough for the offer. That's great.
Yeah, of course. And I saw that you even know Don D&D. I didn't know that you actually knew him. He's actually like one of my close friends. I didn't even know you knew him.
All right. Yeah. So I suppose we go way back in the cypher. Because Dom's been doing it for years. The same as me. We're constantly at it on the grind and stuff. He's part of the Splinter Faction collective as well, so yeah, he's been on tracks with us there. He's done some himself, that, you know, he's collabed with other artists within it and stuff that I've not really been a part of. I mean, that's the great thing about it, because there's always something going on, and like I say, I fuck with all these artists, so to be able to just hear them constantly churning out music and going, here's another single, or here's a idea for a verse, who wants to do something? It's just really cool. I'm just like gushing about it now. I've got to move on from that.
No, dude, you're okay. Great. You should gush over as much as you can.
But yeah.
Keep gushing over it. Keep that gush going.
I can kind of change the subject and not really change the subject. Just to shout out Nomadic Odyssey as well. So it's an artist called Agni the Bum, who I connected with. I did a haunted house cypher verse. That was the theme for the week. It was around Halloween. I think it was kind of a spooky beat it was on. I don't know what it was about that, but he's said for years how like that verse just absolutely slayed him. And he's like, you killed it. Oh, this is amazing. We should do something. So for, I don't know, 2-3 years maybe now, we've been making stuff under the name Nomadic Odyssey. There's four of us. It's me, Agni the Bum, a guy called Chow, and Soul Pro or Joe. And they, I mean, I'm the small fish in a big pond massively with that group. Those guys are such great artists. Agni's got a real thing for like really spaced out, trippy, new jobs, like Dilla-esque kind of beats and stuff, with that real trippy off-kilter feel and stuff. And he's so good at it, and the beats are just real tasty. So I eat him up whenever he sends anything my way. But we've had a few like EPs, albums out. Some less quality than others, I guess. And no disrespect to Agni in that sense. Like I think the ones that I've produced are the weaker ones of the lot. But yeah.
Cool. I'm gonna have to check that out later.
That's
on my list.
There's a fairly recent project that came out. It's called Reikon, R-E-I-K-O-N, and there's just some incredible artists on that as well. So yeah, I'd if you're gonna listen to anything, I'd highly recommend that one. That's like the most recent body of work, at least, that we've done. There's been a few other singles and things. I mean, Agni's always on something or other. Like, he's just constantly. Hello.
Oh shit, I'm sorry.
That's all right. I was like, I've talked too much bullshit. It's just, I've killed something.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Should we continue?
Sure, I don't know where I got to. I think I was just talking to myself for a while before I even noticed.
Well, I got on tape. Let's just go on with this then, since we don't know what's going on, and I'm too late to recall. let's just start with this.
Sure.
Overall, how would you describe your music?
UK backpack rap, I guess. I get stupid with words sometimes to my detriment, and it's too much waffle and nonsense. sometimes I'm trying to paint it like a really deep lyrical picture, you know, and then I listen back to it afterwards and I'm just like, this is not making the point that I hoped it would. So I'm trying to learn from that at the moment and basically make things that are a bit more concrete, a bit more like grounded. I'm really quite good, I think, at getting set a topic and being able to write like a verse to that. Turning it into a whole song is just a bit of a bigger task for me still. But I like to throw lots of stupid lyrics at beats, hope that it's got a good rhythm to it. And if all those things happen, I'm happy with it.
Oh, cool. Cool. Okay. That's pretty unique. I never heard anything like it. Your method of music and the way you are with music, that's pretty unique. I never heard anything like it. And I've interviewed over 5-10 people from the UK. So
no,
right. To have that uniqueness come from there, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah, we're a tiny island, but we are pretty diverse, I guess. I mean, you know, accents and things can change within a couple of streets, mm-hmm. Let alone like miles. But yeah.
Yeah, and y'all got like the biggest music, Adele, Ed Sheeran, Dua Lipa. Y'all got all those. And then you guys got your nth country ones that everybody loves and enjoys. I mean, y'all got it all.
Yeah, it's not bad. I really can't complain at all about, I don't know, I guess more than anything, just the mix of culture. I think that's what brings so much of it to light. It's so many different people from, you know, originally all parts of the world that have now been living in the UK for a long time. We've kind of just blended. It's a really good thing.
Oh, yeah. And you guys are so diverse. I like it. I love it.
Mm. But yeah, you look at something like grime. That evolved from like garage and drum and bass, and that all goes back to, I don't know, like techno jungle roots and things. And it's just like, man, I don't know, the influences in it all is just crazy. And it's really cool. It's really good.
Oh yeah, 100%. 1,000%. God. My brain's fried. Sorry, I don't want to make this weird for anyone, so I'm gonna go with this because my original question I forgot.
You're all good.
No, shit, I remember now. So everybody will get a chance to listen to your showcase later. What can you tell us about the showcase later?
Oh, okay. So that was way too last minute. I mean, what was it? Last week, I think, that I said, yeah, let's do it next Wednesday. So booked everything in through the invite. And I was like, that's cool. That gives me a week to work on something. And I didn't know exactly what was going to happen. So like I'd listened to a couple of other episodes and been like, okay, so like this dude's spitting a cappella. That's great, but I don't really feel massively comfortable in that zone. Like, I've never done battle raps or anything like that. I feel like you can get so experimental and crazy without a beat behind you that like it just added this whole extra depth to it to me that I was like, no, nah, I want a beat. I need a good beat to be over. And then I was like, okay, so it's gonna then be tricky, I think, for us to be able to like play a beat and have me rap over it over these voice channels and stuff. So I went, okay, the best thing to do is I'll write a verse and I'll just stick on a beat that I like, that it's one of my beats, but yeah, so it kind of gives you an essence of just me, I suppose, was the idea. So it's a beat that I really dig, and I just wrote a little verse for you and basically like to promote Splinter Faction and the Madoc Odyssey. So everything I've talked about already condensed into a verse. And just to kind of try and keep the live feel, I put like a slight bit of compression on it, but otherwise there's no effects or anything over my vocals. So it's like as straight as it can be without me actually doing it live.
Oh, cool. That's awesome. And I love the how you managed to do all that last minute and yet you made it so awesome.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, sometimes that's just what works, I think. You know, if you get a creative wave or something, then ride it. But you know, it's not that I hadn't thought about it for the past week, and I've sort of gone, okay, let's sit down. I'll stick this beat on because I like that one, and let's just write something for you. And like, I never got past a line or two, and just went, nah, I'm not feeling this anymore. Just turn it off, close down for the night, come back to it. And I guess that's just the way it works sometimes. It's like, you know, right up to the deadline. And that's kind of how I live my life, I guess. It's, you know, homework was always done not the night before. I'd be doing it like on the bus on the way to school. So I'm pretty terrible like that. But I do feel like, you know, sometimes in a pinch I can do all right.
Yep, you're doing all right. You're doing all right. You got it.
And yeah, like I said, yeah, sometimes I think that's just a big key thing to have. Like, I have a lot of freedom really within myself. Like I said earlier, you know, I've got an 8-year-old daughter. Me and her mom unfortunately separated years ago. It's all fine, but you know, she's here at weekends with me. So I am really lucky in one sense that I've got each evening of the week living in my own little place to be able to just record, play music, get really creative in that sort of sense. I'm not like disturbing anyone in the house or whatever. That's always been like a big creative dampener, I suppose. So it gets a bit lonely sometimes. I've been living on my own for like a year or so now. I used to have a housemate who was he was just amazing. He wasn't into hip hop or anything like that at all, but he loved his music. He didn't give a shit about what I was doing late at night. And he'd do freestyle sessions with me. I'd just stick on a beat or something, and like that again just massively helped me just getting comfortable rapping in front of someone and stuff like that. You know, he's a really good mate, so it wasn't like there was no pressure there. It didn't matter what we said to each other and things, but yeah, so that just sort of creative freedom was really nice.
That's really cool. That's really cool. And I respect the privacy. You get to work a lot when you get your own little space.
Yeah, that's it. And it does mean that, you know, I'm burning the candle both ends most of the time. I do work a day job, like 9 to 5 as well. So it can be quite a graft and some sleepless nights, but it's all worth it, I think. Like, yeah, I wouldn't have it any other way. So, well, I guess I would. I'd have no job and I'd just do this full time and then I'd have loads of time for it. That'd be great. But Hey, that's such a pipe dream, and it always has been. I think that's also partly one reason that I've always put this down as, like, it's a hobby. It's almost an excuse to myself to be like, if I say it's a hobby and I treat it like that, then if I never make it, I've not failed. You know, like, if I put absolutely everything into it and then didn't get anywhere, I think, I don't know, that's just going to be fucking hard to deal with.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So yeah, I put a lot into it, but like I say, it's always been on my terms, so it keeps it right as well. Like, you know, it doesn't become a chore or anything. It can be hard work, and I can be like, you know, I've got a deadline or something. I need so there's a guy that I've rapped with for a long time, MC Razor. Fucking incredible, just to give him a shout, like, absolute boss. Check him out on everything. But Razor, a few weeks ago, he sent me over. He was doing some competition or other, and he goes, I really need this mixed and, like, mastered. And I went, right, okay, that's fine. I'm happy to help you out, man. When do you need it for? He's like, tomorrow. So I'm like, with the time difference of me being here and everything, it was like 9 o'clock at night. I'd work the next day. I was like, man, what are you doing to me? I've got to get this done in like a few hours. So, but again, it was one of those moments I feel like I absolutely shone, because I was like, okay, let's just get on with it, get into it, smashed it out. He loved the mix that I gave to him. Sweet. What was my point here? I can't remember. I told a story and it went nowhere. But nope. Yeah. Just
you were on point. You were on point with your story. I love it.
Okay.
I love it. I like stories too. I love telling stories. That's so nice.
Oh, man. Yeah. I can go on for days. Don't let me get carried away. You'll have a podcast that goes on for 4 hours.
So I got my single most wanted question to know about you. So say there were waves of fourth graders that were coming at you, like they're going for you, like they're trying to beat your ass, right? They come in waves of five, like average ass fourth graders, right?
And okay, what age are we talking here? Is that like 13, 14? Sorry, I'm not.
No. Fourth graders, they're year four for you.
Oh, right. So kids. Kids.
Yeah. Like eight-year-olds.
Right.
So they coming at you in waves of five. So 5 8-year-olds coming at you in every wave. And every fifth wave, a sixth grader comes out. How many waves do you think you could survive?
Oh, man.
Before you go down, like you fall, like you're no remorse either. Like your morals out the window. These kids are trying to kill you and you're trying to kill them too.
Jesus.
No morals. Morals are out the window, by the way. Like you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah. I'm guessing we're talking just like basic clothes and that's it. There's no like weapons around or anything.
Yeah. Well,
they're not coming at me with machetes.
Yeah, they're just coming out in their schoolyard clothes. They just got out of recess.
Uh-huh.
And they're coming at you in waves. Like, you're by yourself. You're just wearing your normal-ass clothes. No weapons, just fist to face.
Man, as a dad, this is, like, a horrible question. Just imagine it. But I love it.
It's a good one. I gotta know this about you. Oh, I'm really curious. Okay, How many waves do you think you could just pound in fucking fourth graders' little faces in? How many waves?
Fifth wave, there's a sixth grader.
Yep, sixth grader.
Just one, not another mob of them.
Yep, right. Just one sixth grader.
Oh, man. I don't know, because I'm not a big guy by any means. I exercise regularly, so I'm not unfit either. So I think, like, stamina-wise, I'd hold out quite a long time.
Stamina is definitely the most important thing here. Like, I mean, personally, I'm not that big of a guy either. I mean, I'm 6'1", I'm 14, but I think I could survive like 10 solid or maybe 15 solid waves. Because, I mean, these eighth graders, they're your average eighth grader. They can go they can go down with a single like punch.
And they can, but then fine. They're coming at me in mobs of five, right?
Yeah. So what you can do is just fucking, what you can is just pick up one of the fourth graders, swing them around, hit all the other fourth graders. Yeah, exactly. Just use one of the fourth graders as a weapon. What are they going to do? Try to hit you back while you're swinging them around in a circle? No, they're just going to vomit on themselves because they're going to be nauseous from getting spun around and, you know. But yeah. No morals whatsoever. You can use the fourth graders as a weapon. If you want to, you could take off your clothes and use like your clothing as like a whip or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Your
average everyday clothes. How many waves could you survive before you're fully down? Like, you're fighting for your life. These kids are trying to like rip your balls off. That's how like angry they are with you.
I mean, I'd like to say maybe like 10, but
10 solid waves. That's pretty reasonable.
I'm kind of basing that on that they are just going to drag me down. Like, as much eventually stamina as I might have and agility, like, to be able to swiftly bash some kids in the face. I just feel like after a while, I'm going to start getting tired and they're going to get a few bites and scratches in. And yep, it's like, that's going to weigh me down. And then, I don't know, that sixth grader on that second wave, I think, you know, that second sixth grader that comes in, that's why I think 10 might be at the point where I'm like, he's just that little bit stronger that he'll then take me, you know, topple me over or something. Yeah. And that's it. Once I'm down, like, I'm going to go with 10. Why not?
You can get back up once you're like knocked down, but like, you have to keep going until you like you're fully done. Like, you have no more energy. Like, you cannot get up even if you wanted to. So you get like surrounded by like they're like little zombies to you, basically. You just gotta keep punching them in the faces. They don't have much power, but in numbers they can be. Eventually they'll bring you down, and they come in infinitely. So you think 10 waves is reasonable for you?
I think 10 waves, so I'm kind of basing this on if I'm just stood there fighting them. I mean, when you said zombies, I just immediately thought to myself, well, I'd get away from the fuckers. Like, I can run faster than these kids. So if I can get on a building or even if the waves keep coming at me, I can get myself into a better position where I can just, like, I don't know, bottleneck them or something.
But I'm talking like you're in a room with them, like schoolyard. Yeah, whatever.
I can't get out. Yeah.
Yep. You can't get out. There, it's in like a square ass, like, you know, your recess, your playground, whatever. There's a playground, I guess. So you can take what you want in there. And every time one of those kids is like knocked down and they're like crying to themselves on the ground, they're like,
so brutal.
Another like group of five of them walk through the door and they're like, all right, you know, kick this guy's ass.
I don't know, man. I mean, I'm starting to think that I could go longer. Just, it was on that comment
probably
of, you know, if it is to the death, it's kind of going to take them a long time to be able to actually kill an adult. Like, regardless of your physical ability.
Eventually, they'll just knock you down into the ground and they're like, all right, finally, somebody just sit on them. Sit on them.
Yeah, but I guess that's part of it as well. It's just like, well, it's just going to seem futile. If I get to like the 15th wave, I'll just be like, this is fucked. I'm laying down.
And then once you,
once
you're done with it, if there is an end, you go to jail for like the rest of your life for like mutilating little kids.
You didn't say that was part of the deal. You said morals.
No, it's absolutely not part of the deal, but I'm just saying if there was somehow a way out.
Oh, man. Yeah, let's hope that never happens, right?
Dude, I think that'd be awesome.
I mean, the realistic answer, I think, is I wouldn't even survive one. I'd be like, I can't fight kids. This is fucked.
But your morals are out of the window.
Exactly. So that's, yeah.
Yeah. I think the way you're explaining it, you could go a solid 15. I think I could personally myself go a solid 15 because, I mean, if my morals are out of the way, like, I hate hurting people. But, I mean, if my morals are out of the way and I can just absolutely just beat the absolute shit out of fourth graders, I'll take that chance any day.
Yeah. If they're coming at you like waves. Sorry, I was gonna say, if they're coming at you like zombies, like they're driven by this bloodlust then. Whereas if they're coming at you like actual fourth graders, you know, flick them on the ear, they're gonna start crying. You'll be fine. It's 500 waves.
Well, like with a solid like punch to the nose or something, they'll be on the ground sobbing. They'll be like, I don't wanna get up, I wanna go home. Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they would.
But
yeah.
Like at first, they're coming at you like, all right, this guy just killed 15 of my classmates. I'm gonna beat his ass. He just murdered my entire family. He stole my eraser in math class.
These 8-year-olds are wild. Like me at 8, if some full grown adult had killed 15 of my classmates, no way I'm going up against whether or not there's a sip crater with me as well.
Honestly, I'd be shitting my pants already. Like, all right, I get to go into the stadium. All right, let's go. But no, there's just some like deranged adult, and these like other adults are showing me into like this arena with like a 6'1" adult with like blood covered like British man. I would be like in the corner, like, oh no.
Yeah, just the image alone is. That's
some trauma. Think about it. Your morals are gone, and like you're finally like sitting there, and you're like mutilating these kids. Like if you want to, there's the option of like ripping the occasional arm off, gouging out the occasional eye. But like, man, seeing that image of like a man covered in blood and bruises.
And I would not be, you know, smiling.
I would not be.
There's going to be the worst snarl ever.
If I was a fourth grader and I walked into like the schoolyard and I saw all my classmates dead with this deranged man sitting in like on a pile of bodies completely soaked in their blood, I don't know what I would do personally.
Man, this podcast has taken a turn.
Bro, I was muted for a while because I thought I was, you know, I thought I was taking too much of the role of being the host. So I was like, all right, I'll chill it down for a bit. But this is my section.
Coming
this
back with a vengeance.
Yeah, I'm making up for that time that I didn't have.
I love it. So is this the same hypothetical question to every guest? Or is it like, does it change every week?
This is the first time. He's lying. No, I'm gonna set it straight. He's not gonna. He wants to burst out and say one of those questions. I told him not to, but
yes, this is all getting cut out.
You said it was okay.
Do you really think I said okay? I'm pretty sure I told you no.
I'll take a screenshot of our Discord DM.
Yeah, and it's gonna say no. I'm just kidding. I did say.
I just didn't realize it would go this far.
Ooh, that's nice.
About fourth graders. I didn't think it would ask about like fourth
graders. I literally quoted that from the Discord DM. I'll read it off right now and throw a wacky one in there maybe. Like, how many fourth graders could they fight off before they fall? Your reply. Ooh, that's nice. Haven't gotten humor in the show in a while. I like it.
Yeah,
okay, didn't turn out as humor. Just,
we got too detailed.
Okay, we didn't get past humor. I forgot.
you forgot.
And at least I wasn't the one who lost his cell phone. Okay, I wasn't the one who lost the cell phone. So,
bro, it was in my ride's car. It's not.
No, it doesn't matter. You lost it. So,
I didn't lose it.
Nope, you lost it.
I didn't lose it. I knew exactly where it was.
No, because you put it in the car and you lost it the entire day, so...
I guess.
Schrodinger's cell phone at that point, right?
Huh?
Mm-hmm. It's Schrodinger's cell phone at that point. I know where it is, but I don't... Is it?
No, I knew exactly where it is, but I couldn't get that. I was in school, bro.
No, but you lost it, so...
I guess. You got me there.
Hell yeah.
But yeah... Russ, it was an absolute joy having you on the show. It was awesome you guys talk. Like, you were an absolute awesome person to talk to, and definitely DM me to see if we could ever collab on something. Like, I
Absolutely, man.
I haven't heard any of your tracks yet. I'm gonna after we get done with this other interview. But like, absolutely, I'm gonna listen to some of those and see, make my final decision of what we can make with each other.
Okay, man. Yeah, hit me up with anything. I mean, I'm most totally definite. Down to chat and take it forward. That'd be great. And yeah, thank you guys. It's been wicked talking to you. And yeah, I love the curveball
awesome
question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it took a little twist, but thank you so much. Did you have any future plans for your music? Anything the fans can look forward to?
Just keep cracking at it, basically. I mean, like I said earlier, Splinter Faction, we're always cooking something or other up. So there are tracks on the back burner right now, stuff that's going on that's getting ready to be released or that has recently been. I think the last one was WTF. Some great artists on that one. And yeah, just a few more coming out. So I guess if anyone, you know, hits up the Splinter Faction channels and stuff, Nomadic Odyssey as well, and obviously me on everything, really. I mean, the music's everywhere. It's just getting it out to the masses that's the trouble, isn't it?
Oh, cool. I'm so excited for your new projects. And again, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Did you have anything you want to lastly say to the fans before we head off?
No, just peace. If you've listened for this long, so much for getting involved, I suppose. And, you know, listen to us shoot the shit. It's been great.
Cool. I like how you ended it. Guys, make sure to check out Russ down below on social media. Excuse me, my tongue is twisted. Ew. check out his collective. Not sure. He might have sent me links later because I fucking forgot the name. I can't find him anywhere. But luckily, he'll send me those later. Hope you guys enjoy the showcase. That's after the segment. Thank you, Lana, for co-hosting. I was about to say showcasing, but you co-hosted. You did great for your first time. I loved it.
Thank you.
Yeah, man.
I tried. I definitely tried.
You think you've always been a... You guys have a great rapport together as well. It's nice.
Oh, thanks. Yep. We got good chemistry. It's so nice.
Musically is an awesome person to talk to.
1,000%.
Just musically.
Oh, yeah. The real name would be a secret. I won't tell you that in a very long time.
Okay. Yep. No worries. I get it. A lot of people got to keep, you know, aliases and things and, you know, their real selves separate to things. I mean, I don't. It's, you know, my name's Russ Hillier. That is also my artist name. And it's, I don't think that's the best thing to do or decision to have made, but, you know, I'm not like,
no,
I guess.
Bro, it lets people know that it's actually you. Like, if you're trying to say something to like fans or something, it actually lets them know that it's you.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I've definitely had confusion with like friends or something. It's like, hey, bro, it's actually me. I'm actually Lono Productions. Like,
this guy, yeah.
Yeah. And then I have to DM them on Instagram to, like, have them believe me. And I was like, wow. But yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's kind of cool as well, right? To be like, no way, that's not you. Yeah.
That is cool. 100%.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'm
tried making a good one.
For me, I just say I'm very lucky to be in the position that I am, to be able to just rock with my name and stuff. You know, the job I have,
Absolutely. It's
comfortable enough that, I don't know, it's never going to cause issues of backlash. It might do if I start spouting race hate or something, but I don't intend to do any of that. So we're all good, right?
Hopefully you won't do that, hopefully.
No, it's not on my list of things I want to talk about. I mean, railing against it maybe, but yeah.
Oh, good. We don't want any of that shit.
Hmm.
We don't want
that. But yeah, pleasure, guys. Thank you so much.
It was awesome having you here. It was an absolute pleasure having you here, by the way.
Sweet.
Yeah, well, of course.
We'll talk more in future.
Yeah. Hopefully. I hope you consider doing it again.
Oh, for sure, man. Yeah. If you want me back, let me know anytime. I'm down for that.
Oh, yay. Cool. So y'all make sure to check him out down below. As always, check us out on social media. Rabella Podcast, we're everywhere. Just kidding, we're not like everywhere, but you get the point. Instagram is the best one. Honestly, it's the best.
Wrap it out for life, baby.
Wrap it out for life.
They're lying. But anyway, because I know they're lying about that what they just said. But anywho, I hope you guys enjoyed our little show tonight. I know it was not the typical, but it was also not a bad one. So you could say that we did one good, I guess. But anyway, hope you guys tune into the next one and see you guys in the next one. Bye.